there has been a breakdown of governance and operational performance at the South African Bureau of Standards amid allegations of corruption and maladministration. We get the details from Toby Chance, the Democratic Alliance spokesperson on trade, industry and competition. Welcome, Toby.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here.
Firstly, just tell our viewers, what does the SABS do and how does it fit into South Africa's industrial architecture?
Yeah, so the South African Bureau of Standards is one of four technical institutions which reports to the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. There being the SABS, the National Regulator of Compulsory Specifications, the South African National Accreditation System, and the National Metrology Institute. And between those institutions, they essentially manage and regulate the quality system in South Africa. So all products that are, or most products that are sold in this country and exported, have to adhere to global standards or South African standards of quality. And the SABS is the testing entity that makes sure that the products that are submitted and are certified are up to scratch. That's essentially how it works.
Now, then Minister Rob Davies put the SABS under administration in 2018. Why did he do that and did it have the desired effect?
He did it for a number of reasons. It was triggered by the SABS irregular certification of coal, which was being mined by the Gupta Togeta mine. If you recall, in the Hayat estate capture, the Guptas were essentially trying to capture Eskom. And one of the ways they were doing that is to sell substandard coal to Eskom via their mine, which they acquired from Glencore. So the SABS was found wanting on that occasion. And there's another series of malpractices, complaints by customers that they weren't being serviced properly. The paint coatings lab was closed down, and there were other problems of management. So essentially, Rob Davies had no option really but to just fire the board and replace the board with three joint administrators, who then oversaw the restructuring and hopefully the repositioning of the SABS.
Now, since you were appointed, what new issues have come to the fore and that have raised concerns?
I was appointed to my position in July after the formation of the Government of National Unity. And very soon after that, I started to receive emails from whistleblowers, essentially, former employees, suspended employees, current employees. Some people I didn't know their identity, others I did. And they were taking me back to the days when the administrators handed over to a new board and a new set of acting CEOs. And bear in mind that the SABS hasn't had a full-time CEO for 3 years at least. So the complaints started coming through about the same things that were causing problems 5 or 7 years ago, which included certification, for example, in this instance, of the cement labs was withdrawn. So that meant that any cement manufacturer supplying cement for testing couldn't get a SANA stamp, which meant that there was a problem potentially of quality. There were improper procurement procedures followed, which meant that the SABS was overpaying for products and services. There were shortcuts in terms of employment of personnel and accusations of nepotism. And also the board wasn't corate for the first couple of months of my term. And this meant that the board couldn't do its duties and oversee the organization's functions. So at that point, it became clear that the problems of the SABS were continuing. And so we had to take action. Certainly I had to take action as the DEA's spokesman on trade and industry and competition.
Well, just before Christmas, you were accused of being a cyberbully. The SABS put out a statement. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yes, that was quite a bizarre instance. So what happened, I put out a statement on, I think, the 12th of December, when I became aware of a major cyber attack and a ransomware cyber attack at that, which had crippled SABS systems. And I was able to obtain information from actually a portfolio committee meeting where we were informed that a dark web cyber company who actually advertised their services, can you believe it, as a company that can attack systems and destroy them and earn money from them, and were actually looking for, you know, organizations and individuals to sign up with them as potential beneficiaries of this this behavior. And so I put out a statement alarming people to this fact. And then the SAVS accused me of sponsoring disorganization and anarchy at the SAVS. And disgruntled employees were using me to try and deflect from their own problems. And then they called me a cyber bully, which has never happened to me before, which I think was a bizarre instance of the SAVS trying to cover up problems that had beset at the SAVS and which are still giving them problems.
Meanwhile, has the SAVS taken the whistleblowers' allegations seriously, and have they put in safeguards to protect them?
Initially, not at all. And what happened was that the board and the executive, who were being fingered by the whistleblowers, said that they had implemented internal audit controls. They were suspending people who they believed were the victim or the culprits here, but in fact, it was the other way around. And you can't have a situation where the people who are fingered for corruption and other malpractices are the ones that are conducting the investigation. So, so far as the whistleblowers were concerned, no, they weren't protected. They were, in fact, they were victimized, they were bullied, and many of them have taken leave. Most of the suspensions that I'm aware of have not been upheld by the CCMA or the Labour Court. So it just shows that actually they were being victimized to protect the people that they were criticizing. So it actually took until February and multitudinous letters from me and questions in Parliament and media coverage for the minister to actually finally take action, which he did in February by appointing TSU International to conduct an independent investigation. And we're now waiting to see the outcome of that investigation.
Yes, please tell us more about that independent investigation appointed by Minister Parks Tau. What can you expect from this?
TSU International is one of the approved suppliers to the Department of Trade and Industry. It's not one of the big five audit firms, but it has a reputation for doing these sorts of things. It's staffed by people who come from the security and law enforcement agencies. I was able to obtain the terms of reference in a written parliamentary question to Minister Tau. It was a redacted terms of reference. In other words, it removed the names of people that were being investigated. But reading between the lines, it's very clear that if the terms of reference are properly followed through, then we're going to see a very revealing report. And I have actually spoken to the chief investigator at TSU. Obviously, haven't wanted to get involved and interfere with the investigation. It has to be completely above board. But I have been assured that the investigation is doing its job. And in conversations with some of the whistleblowers themselves who have been interviewed, and also particularly with Nahawu, which is the main union, they have been very vocal about this. And I am getting more confident that the job is being done professionally and thoroughly.
When can we expect the result of the investigation?
We were told by the end of May, which is just a week away. That's when the report has to be submitted to Minister Tau. We don't know when we're going to see it in public, but obviously the committee, and it was to the committee that Parks Tau announced that he was instituting this report. So the committee will no doubt want to see it. And certainly, if necessary, we'll have to put out a pyre or essentially get the information revealed publicly so that there's no attempted cover-up. I'm not expecting a cover-up. And I do think that Minister Tau, he did inherit a hornet's nest of problems when he came into the job, not just at the SAVS, but in many of the other entities in the DTIC's family. And I do think that he wants to clear the decks. But trouble is, it's a sort of gargantuan task because, you know, the board is compromised, the whole executive team is compromised. And in fact, Thursday, Oratili Matudi, who's the chief audit officer, resigned literally after having a fisticuffs with the acting CEO in the office. They were trying to take possession of apparently some very sensitive documents which would implicate certain people. And he, instead of being suspended, which the acting CEO was about to do, he resigned on the spot and left the premises. So, you know, it really has got nasty. And this has resulted in huge problems. You know, lack of confidence, customers are not happy at all with what's going on. And ultimately, the SABS does provide a service for which they're paid. So, yeah, getting back to the investigation, it's very important that that it's released in public and that it has some proper remedies in place.
So the incident you just referred to, that happened just before an internal audit was supposed to take place. Do you know whether that did indeed happen?
No, there was no internal audit that was taking place. It was the internal auditor that was the man that was involved in the fisticuffs. Internal audit happens all the time, but the problem is the internal auditor himself was implicated in the problems. And so when he resigned on Thursday, he did so essentially deciding that he wasn't going to be part of the cover-up. This is what we believe. But he was going to expose his colleagues in the executive. And that's, I think, why there was a fisticuffs, because there's a lot at stake here. I mean, you know, executives who are involved in this sort of thing, their careers can be destroyed as a result of this sort of behavior. So clearly there's a lot at stake and they're all wanting to cover their backs.
Are you expecting new management to come in and fix this mess, or do you think that the SABS should be put under administration again?
I think it has to be put under administration because you can't appoint new management overnight. It takes months and sometimes years. I mean, we haven't had a full-time CEO for 3 years at the SABS. So I don't think Minister Tao has any choice but to put the organization into administration, essentially suspend the board or fire the board and start all over again, go back to what we had 7 years ago. And this time they've got to do a proper job, but not just them. After the administration process has happened, the minister has to properly appoint a qualified board, you know. People who know what they're doing are unblemished in terms of their careers to date. And executives who, again, are, you know, up to scratch and are not playing games, you know, not trying to use the organization for personal enrichment or to, you know, put their friends and family into positions of authority. That's what has to happen at the SABS. And I'm just hopeful that Minister Tao and his ministerial team sees this. And by the way, my colleague Andrew Whitfield, who's the Deputy Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition, has oversight of the DTIC, of the SABS and the technical institutions, and so is very, very concerned with myself that that these actions are taken and the Minister Tao does the right thing. And I think he will do it. Yeah. He doesn't really have any choice. Otherwise the SABS will collapse. It's not collapsed yet, but it's close to it. And I think that if it doesn't sort itself out soon, it's going to bleed customers. And it's not the only testing institution in the country. There are lots of other testing institutions that have got SANUS approval. So it has to be turned around. It's an important, as I said, part of our quality system at the beginning of this interview. We don't have any choice really but to rescue it.
Thank you. That was Toby Chance, the Democratic Alliance spokesperson on trade, industry and competition, speaking to BizNews about the breakdown of governance and operational performance at the South African Bureau of Standards. I'm Chris Stain. Thank you, Toby.
Thank you very much, Chris.